Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard, and I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Oh, you noticed the new chapeau? It's not on my loot table, so don't try anything. Arise, my core. Did you get that chapeau?
Okay. I know the part John thinks I'm not going to like. Can I say it now?
I think we know. We saw your face, but yeah, go ahead and guess.
It's that thing. That sucks. Why does she say it like that? I don't like it.
That's exactly why I put it in. I was like, oh my word.
I hate it.
Just to give you some context, there was a version of the intro that was not, you remember how we did Butcher and it was just the Butcher running the whole time?
Yeah, I remember that.
I made a version of this where it was just her laughing the whole time.
Oh, can you please send that to me?
Can you
I got rid of it. It's no! I removed this. It's not there. I decided not to commit.
White Mane has surprisingly I actually I think she's actually got really good VO, generally speaking. Like, the stuff I've heard so far is fine, but that laugh thing there and all the laughs, they're terrible. And I know
no,
that's the aim.
Perfect.
No, no. See, this is why you play a male blood elf. This is why you play blood elves in general, because you can't get enough of terrible laughs.
It's really good bad laugh.
Oh, I think you like bad laughs. That's what's going on.
I could be.
Yeah.
Just feel like that's the character perfectly. It makes you feel exactly what you're supposed to feel.
All right, let me ask you this. Do you think this laugh, if I can find it.
Are you going to play my laugh?
yeah, but that's not what I was looking for. Hold on.
It's a bad laugh. Confirmed. Yeah,
here it is.
Good laugh.
Okay, how about this one? How you like that one?
It's a good laugh. Is that Dunaway?
No, it's from that old
that was my guess too.
It's that old Tenshu game. It's got some really horrible stuff in it.
Is it really? That sounds a lot like Dunaway.
All right, how about this one? That's Data. That's Data laughing.
That one's a little on the Sometimes when Data got real shrieky, it got rough.
Okay. No, that's good. We're hitting your upper limit. Let's try this one. sorry, that was Skeletor and his friend.
It's pretty good.
I like the hi-hat in the end. There's like a...
Yeah. Okay, here's one. Here's one from corporate, technical corporate Silicon Valley America. Okay, so here you go. Yeah, how you like that?
That one's a little like a car starting, but yeah. It's okay.
Yeah, it's Melissa Meyer, former CEO, or maybe she's still there, of Yahoo. I don't actually know if she's still there or not. Uh-oh, my left ear went weird. Hold on a second. Fix. Okay, what the H, mixer? There we go, it's fixed. All right, well, anyway, none of that matters. What matters now? That's a good laugh. I got a lot of laughs, turns out. I have
Why
tons
is there
of...
a wet drop after it, though?
What? What'd you say?
There's like a wet drop after that laugh that you played.
Ew. I don't know. Here's my daughter laughing hard.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
That's a good laugh.
That's a good laugh.
We were tickling her real bad and then recorded it. There she is again. that's too good. Hopefully she'll feel that way when she's giving birth. All right. Hey, what are we doing? for the record. Hey, congratulations.
You know she won't.
My daughter's getting having a baby in February. Bing! There you go. That's true. That's all true, but I hope she's not. I mean, I doubt she'll be making that sound. I'm going to shut up now. I'm not going to talk anymore about this. Oh, here's me laughing.
Hey, man.
Yeah, it's not good.
He sounded like Mr. Magoo at first. I was like, that's not Scott laughing.
It's not good. It's not
that's
good.
Magoo before he goes, by George.
Here's a good one. That's better than White Mane. All right, enough of these laughs. We've done it. We started the show without even telling you who we are. Welcome to Core, everybody. It's August 1st, and it's episode 139. I'm Scott Johnson, Bo Shorts, and John Jagger. And we're back at it doing a show. And no, I'm not just going to launch the show right into what's wrong with Stukov now, okay? Hold on to your butts. We'll talk about that later. Alexei von Handanus has had some changes. And we're going to have to live with those changes, and it's fine. At least those changes will be coated in a fine sheen of great skin. Because he's got an awesome skin coming up, and that's great for me and you, even though he got his Handanus got nerfed. We'll talk about all that in a minute. But I wanted to start with something kind of maybe a little odd, still connected to heroes, though. All right. I don't know why I did this. I don't have a good explanation. At least when I was having my fever and I boosted a level 108.5 to a 110, I was kind of out of my mind when I did it. $60 value. Well done, Scott. Good job. Did that to my mage. But, you know, things are ramping up for Warcraft. We're getting excited about a new expansion, playing this pre-patch content and all that. We're not going to talk about burning trees today, everybody, so if you came here expecting that, just calm down. Here's what happened. I got this thing going now where I'm like, all right, I'm doing the content with my boosted and with my hunter, and that's great. And then when that's done, you're kind of like waiting, okay, because there's not a lot to do unless you want to go grind out old stuff or whatever. So you're like, well, what else should I do? And I got this wild hair up my butt, as I like to say, to make a level one, non-boosted warrior for no good reason other than just I've never played a warrior ever, and I was in this mood to kind of see old stuff, old vanilla / cataclysm changed sort of original content kind of business, and so I did, and he's level 21 now. so clearly I was into it, and I've been enjoying it, but here's where it connects to heroes. And I actually really recommend this, by the way. If you're a longtime player and you're like, man, I've wrung all I can wring out of World of Warcraft right now. I'm not sure that that's true. Here's why I like this. You put your headphones on. You make sure the music's on and up. You start a character, Alliance or Horde, don't care. Doesn't matter who, what race, whatever. Just start it where you feel the most nostalgia for it. And then just start working on stuff and build from like one ability and... It's sublime. It's great. It's a great, good, fun thing still to do. Like, it's still a cathartic experience, and I really, really am enjoying myself. Now, here's how it's connected to heroes. I forgot that I was going to see a bunch of like heroes characters early on, especially at level like 12. I got to do a whole bunch of shit for Gazlo in this game. Did you guys remember doing any of those quests for Gazlo in Ratchet or whatever the hell it was?
I did. Well, I didn't, except I did the exact same thing you did, and I had been running around on a fairly low-level character, wound up in Ratchet, and was like, oh, Gazlo, just right there, wanting me to go deal with pirates and treasure and stuff like that. That's great.
Yeah.
Why don't you take your robot and do it yourself?
Yeah, it seems like you could go camp out with some turrets and make their life hard, but nope, here you are sitting in this little dome dealing out quests. But it's interesting because talking to him, I don't think this was, I don't know when this changed or if it was Heroes first or what, but he's got the voice he has in Heroes, so the same voice actor. He's very conversational and you get to chat with him. And that was a really fun thing. I'll use him as the example. There have been others, but it's you know, they're more common characters you've all heard of before. But Gazlo being kind of a small player in World of Warcraft, to run into this character who I would now see all the time in Heroes of the Storm in his mech suit making my life hard was cool for some reason. I feel like I was discovering something. That's super dumb because he's just always sitting there in Ratchet. You can go see him right now if you want to with your high-level characters. Fly down there and there he is. But there was something about being an up-and-coming, upright posture orc, by the way. I'm not all hunched over. They're really cool. Their stance is awesome. They're just like, look at me. I went to a chiropractor. Rah, right? Yeah. And mine's got these great gray braids down the front and a big old thing. And I've been kind of bouncing around between all the specs as I go to kind of see what stuff drops each time something drops. And just having a blast, like totally surprising myself with how much fun I'm having. And then to run into him and just go, oh, yeah, he's connected to one of my other favorite games of all time. And it's just a really good time. So I guess what I'm saying in general is, man, it's great to be a Blizzard fan sometimes. And sometimes you got to shock yourself back and be reminded why at a very fundamental level we are into what they're dealing, you know. And it's just great. So that's all I wanted to say at the top of the show.
Can I ask you a bit of a selfish question?
Do
to
it.
Somebody who saw you posting on social media.
Yeah.
Did you end up doing Fury?
I ended up doing... Okay, so they start you with arms, arm spec, and I understand why. It's a pretty simple spec, and it's to kind of, you know, early level. Like, early level, you only have a few abilities. I think arms is actually the better choice very, very early. Of course, you can't even switch at the beginning, so for a while there, you can't. I think, what, level 5 or something you can switch specs? So that's fine for a little starter thing, but it also felt all right. It seemed like a fun rotation. You know, you felt cool doing it. All that stuff got beefed up in the last expansion. So the animations are better and the sounds are better and all that. So he seemed cool. But I went to the internet and just said, all right, look, the two DPS specs are arms and, fury. And then of course there's, prot warriors, which I assume nobody would want me to be because, you know, you play that and that's what idiots play. That's not true. That's what
it's what tanks play.
It's what tanks play. Exactly. So if I wanted a tank,
don't PvE world content on the tank.
On the tank. That's what I thought. That's what I went in there thinking. Turns out it's the opposite. 90% of the feedback I got was go with a prot tank because you can AoE and work on a bunch of mobs at once and it's just very sustaining, but also you're mowing stuff down and it doesn't take any longer to kill stuff than it would with the other two specs. Second place is easily Fury, which I have been bouncing back and forth with, and then hardly anybody said anything about arms. So what I liked about, I ended up kind of sticking with Protection Warrior because when I go into a space and there's like, you need to kill 50 of these dudes, I'm killing 3 or 4 at once and it's happening very quickly.
Yeah.
If I do it with Fury, it takes longer. Also, the cooldowns at lower levels, sub 20, are weird with Fury. You can fill in the gaps later, like 20 to 40. That becomes a more fluid rotation, and I'm sure I'll return to it. But right now, Protection Warrior is kind of awesome in PvE, and I didn't expect that. So, been playing around, goofing off, whatever. At one point, I sold my shield and didn't mean to. And then I couldn't be a prot warrior for a while because you can't really do anything without a shield. So then eventually a shield dropped. I went, oh, okay, I can go back to playing that for a while, and ended up kind of sticking with it. But I don't know. It's been an interesting experience. And I kind of
I gotta say, in my opinion, Warrior is the most fun. I've tried all the classes. Warrior is the only one I've ever found fun. Monk is second place for me.
Interesting.
I feel like really, because I just did the same thing. I logged in and leveled a Warlock to 20. So I'm like, I'm going to be a Warlock. You know how I feel after 20 levels? I hate Warlock is like the lamest. Like, it sucks. I'm like, I'm going back to my Warrior. This is like, I got to stand there and shoot pixels at people. Yeah.
No, that's funny.
Warrior's fun. I like running into things and being proactive.
Yeah.
I don't know. So to me, Warrior, and to me, the animations on the Fury spec are the coolest. You get Whirlwind with no rage, so it just looks badass the way you swing around.
When you get to, and I feel bad, I don't want to turn this into like nothing but WoW, but when you get up there in Fury, I'm with Bo 100%. Fury Warrior, I'm a rogue. My main's a rogue. I will always be a rogue. But when it comes to just fun, like feeling powerful and crazy, like that's the Warrior. Yeah. It's one of my favorite classes to play in the game.
It's interesting because I always had this bias that it would be the boring, like stand there and take damage guy. Like I just, especially, you know, 14 years ago or whatever, whenever we were with WoW,
I remember the change up.
It was just kind of like, okay, you go in and hit with sword. You're a sword guy. And I was more of a magic guy, a projectile guy, hunter guy. So I would tend toward hunters and mages and stuff. And I still really like hunters and mages. In fact, Fire Mage right now might be my favorite thing in the game. I just love how procky it is. Oh my gosh, he's burning everything all the time. And he's a panda, which makes it funny. But anyway, the point is, I've really enjoyed this. And I feel bad that I have been a little bit biased against Warriors or even Paladins. Or I'm not really, like, I've never been a melee dude. Heroes has actually helped me in that regard. Helped me want to be, you know, to try more roles in games that aren't where I normally wouldn't. It's weird.
I would say like melee specifically, and Heroes might be something to that link, is that I find there's less of a reason to move around. Like when I'm playing a melee class in WoW, I'm always aware of positioning and where I am, right? Like because you can so easily spread. Like there's a lot of effects in raids that spread to hero, like your teammates near you, and you've always got to be mindful,
right?
You know, whereas if you play with the range, everyone spreads out and don't stand in the poop. But there's just sort of like, oh no, this little ad popped up. Go get the ad now. Zoom over here and zoom over here. And it's just very active, I find. Mm-hmm. And it gets a little boring when you don't get to be that active.
Yeah,
and it might be because Heroes, you know, we play a lot of Heroes and there's a lot of brain activity going on when you're playing that game.
Yeah, there's no hero in Heroes where you just stand there. I mean, even auto attack characters who benefit from just standing there more, even if you're stutter stepping or you're not, it's still such an active experience. And seeing how they've made melee feel active in an MMO, I guess I'm surprised all these years later that it feels that good. So anyway, it's been an interesting experience because I thought a lot about just all the connective tissue between the things that Blizzard does and how much I love it all. And there's some really great, carefully crafted, rad content early on in that game. You just have forgotten. And everyone out there always like, oh, if it's all about endgame. Pay the $60 and boost him. Eh, is it though? I feel like this journey's a little more fun. I'm having a great time. So anyway, just wanted to mention that. Hey, guess who we're getting? Laffy Taffy, goofball, racist, high inquisitor, white mains coming to the game.
Salty white man.
we were correct about it being white main. I think a lot of shows and streamers and people who were making predictions predicted it correctly. From what I can tell, she seems pretty great. John, you said something on Twitter that really made me laugh, and I hope I'm not remembering it wrong, but you said there were three things you knew that she hated, and I can't remember the first two, but the third one was pants.
Yeah, that's right.
Her worst enemies were something something and then pants.
One was definitely the undead.
Yeah.
Oh, and rezzing scrubs.
Oh yeah, undead rezzing scrubs, and no pants. So she is, for just a lack of a better way of saying this, she really is no pants. Like, she is the most, not since Li Ming's heroic skins back when we had the level 10 skin thing. Not since those skins have I seen so little pantaloon on a character in the game. It's fine, but I just feel like it's impractical. It's a little too airy.
It's weird on a priest.
Yeah.
Like, Li Ming makes sense. She's a fashionable, diva-esque wizard, full of herself,
mm-hmm.
can wear risque things. It's like, imagine the Pope wearing something like that, you know? Like, we have a lady Pope for the first time, and she's elected to wear a onesie and nothing
white
else.
To the Pope, though. I think everything you just said about...
Fine, she's not equivalent to the Pope, but she... the light is a religion. She's a religious zealot. She says... She has a voice line in there that's zealously. Like, you know, it's an input move command where someone's like, yes.
Yeah.
Or like, I will move, or zug zug. And she says zealously.
Oh.
Like, with zeal. And I'm like, so we can take the religious tones to the whole Scarlet Crusade. It's intended.
Yeah.
But I'm like, what religious person's like... Got to do the onesie. It's just weird. And maybe it looks cool, but I don't know. It's weird.
Well, people have been asking for a zealot in the game for a while. I think they meant Protoss, but hey, we got her instead. So there you go.
Right.
Looking at video right now of her doing her thing. She seems pretty neat. Some of the talk on Twitter before it was announced was that, well, it can't be her because we've got a resurrection in the game already. If you're going to put a priest in here, that feels like you just kind of have to have that as built-in part of the kit with this character. And, sure enough, they figured out a way to make ultimates very different for her. But let's get into her. Has anyone played her on the PTR or messed with her at all?
Yeah, I tried
just in try mode, but yeah.
Yeah, what'd you guys with Bo? What'd you think? How'd she land on you at least initially?
I don't know. I think it's the same team that's worked on a lot of great heroes, so I can see that her kit, I think, is going to be fun and have a lot of nuance.
Mm-hmm.
Not super excited for her, though. You know, it's just more healing lasers and healing stuff. There's nuance to it, and I don't want to undercut it, but I don't know if it's in my support bias. Like, I'm not very excited sometimes for supports. I'm just not super stoked on the character.
Right.
And even just from a how does she play standpoint, I see a lot of potential from what's there, but I don't know. It's...
Does she feel like she's in line with the... It feels like support heroes have all been following a new template, and that new template is creating, healing opportunities for sure.
Yeah. Well, but, she's Stukov 3.0. Like, if Malfurion is Stukov 2.0,
yeah,
then she's Stukov 3.0, where it's like, you got to get zeal on your folks, and then you got to do other things to boost up the zeal. It looks like it's going to be very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And she has CC options in her kit, so she does everything a support will do. It's just got different graphics and there's differences to how it plays, so it's a unique character. I'm not meaning to say anything too disparaging about the character or anything like that, but it's a little samey on the surface from a bit of try mode. I'm sure once you get into her, there'll be some cool nuancey stuff in there. Her ultimates, gotta say, they're not like exciting. They might be good. They're not exciting.
Mm.
Just areas of stuff.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how she fits in the mix. I mean, my biggest complaint is a purely aesthetic one, and it's not even about the pants. John will probably guess what I'm about to say, but she has anime face.
Oh, I agree with you. Not that it's a bad thing, but it seems a little inconsistent.
Yeah. Across the board.
With the other humans.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. There's something about it, and I can't put my finger on it. It's something in her face. It's just a total design choice.
JRPG white man, basically.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
I feel like that's going on. John, you tried her. Did you? How'd you feel? You, I mean, I know you feel similar about supports. Not as excited about supports as some might get, but what'd you think?
I like her. I think she's. I think she's a lot of fun to play. She's very much like healing with her. Again, this is just in. You know, try modes. It's not in game, so it's going to be hard to say what it's like when you're playing against actual people. But the little bit of time that I spent with her, it feels like her healing walks that line very much of that edge that you walk with some heroes. You know, heroes like Zul'jin, where you want to be at low health and you want to just kind of dance at the edge of low health. Like, she kind of feels like that. It feels like her healing isn't... The burst healing for her is very expensive to do, because you basically spam your Q. Yeah. That's how you get a lot of healing out, and it is draining. So it's a lot of small heals. So it's a lot of, hey, things are, you know, focusing on the target you want to heal, and you're just watching their health dance, and you're just watching that dance of how much damage and healing can I output to keep them from dropping faster than what I'm giving them.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually really liked that game, especially taking Clemency at level one, which lets you cast Inquisition on a hero, so you can do the little channeling beam as a heal instead of a damage attack. I found that very rewarding in the time that I was playing with her. And I also, I don't know if it's going to be her most powerful ultimate, but I also found Divine Reckoning at 10, which is the one that does damage, to be a lot of fun too, because if you can set it up properly and put Zeal on your team before you drop that, you're both healing and damaging at the same time in a big area. And that can be very rewarding as well. So I think there's some very cool stuff on her kit. I'm really excited to see where she ends up going. She definitely feels strong. I'm curious to see what's going to happen when you get up against an opponent that's smart enough to say, oh, I'm going to ignore the thing I'm fighting and go after her, because it is difficult for her to get away. But I'm digging her kit a lot. I really like it. And I think her Searing Lash ability is kind of fascinating, how often hitting somebody with that and the way people try to tend to move when they get hit by an ability, that the way that second strike comes down hits them pretty frequently.
Yeah. I wondered about that one, if that was, I don't know, how that felt. Because it looks a little dry and wait for it and projecty, you know, like, I'm putting down a thing, hope you don't get out of it, sort of deal. But, you know, I guess we'll see how smart players are for that.
To me, it seems like a major part of her healing throughput, aside from the Q itself, or I think there's a hot on Zeal? No, right?
No.
It's only healing, so it's 100% of the damage White Mane deals to heroes. And Inquisition's kind of one of those, it's a channeling ability, which means you can be interrupted or targeted. I worry a little bit about intelligent play versus that, right? I mean, a new Brack throws out a Q, it's interrupted. Like, I wonder how much value you do get off of it. Could be fine, though, but that's like a concern, right? Where one of your main abilities is a channel, it has pretty solid, it can have pretty solid counterplay once from savvy opponents.
Sure.
Little side note, the ability Scarlet Aegis,
I think.
It doesn't say it in here, but it's sort of implied, because whenever you heal a teammate, they get Zeal, right? So that actually applies Zeal to everyone in its area of effect if it gets healed.
Yeah, Bolts of the Spirit.
So it doesn't say it on the ability, but I noticed when I was playing, I'm like, oh, they're getting Zeal. Why? It doesn't say that on there. And then the answer is it doesn't matter. As long as it's a heal coming from White Mane, you'll get the Zeal buff. So you can cast it, then cast your W and E and get healing from it. I assume the damage on E also provides healing.
Yeah. So let me ask this question. You called her Stukov 3.0. Stukov being 1.0 and the changes to Malfurion being 2. I'd love Stukov. I love him. I love his mechanics. I love everything about the way he works. I think it fits his character perfectly. I love how it plays, blah, blah, blah. I've said it a million times. He's my favorite character in the game. On the other hand, I don't like the way Malfurion works. And part of that we could attribute, and we talked about this a little bit last time, but attribute some of that to, well, they changed him, so I just... change is hard, and you know, like some of that could just be me. But in the case when you say 3.0, I have to admit I get a little really, because
it's the reason I say it is it's the mini game, right? It's spread your symbol above the heads of the people with the heal potential, then press the heal button. In Stukov case, it's just the D. In Malfurion's case, it's the W on an enemy hero. And in her case, it's whatever damage she can output while you have your special graphic over top of your head. We're like, you know, Decker just tosses potion and you get the heal. Yeah. And And Rhaegar just presses Q and the heals go where they go, and there isn't a game to it, right? So this is a mini game healing character. Might not be a good or bad thing. I think the assumption is that, well, mini games require higher game skill to accomplish. So one would hope that the benefit of playing a character like that is greater than playing something simple. Like, it, in a world where all healing is the same, you want to play the characters that don't have the mini game because your burden of execution is much lower on and yeah, I press Q, things are good. Okay, let me focus on other parts of the game. It's like, no, I've got this giant game to play. I mean, you know, what's the benefit of doing it? I don't know. But like, Malfurion's a top pick. I actually got a EuroLeague game in with Malfurion, and I felt godlike on him. So it's...
I need to get over my...
I was complaining a little bit that the Q cooldown is not long, but then I realized it was like only 5 seconds. It's not that bad, and it lasts a long time.
Yeah.
But your teammates got to protect you. He's a not that bad of a place, actually. I enjoyed playing Malfurion in that game. So it's not a bad thing on her. It's just, it's what it is. It's that game. There's that Stukov game on her.
Yeah. I
think the other thing to keep in mind, Scott, is that even though we're saying 1.0, 2.0, 3.0, I wouldn't necessarily say that, I mean, metas will determine this, but I wouldn't necessarily say, well, Malfurion's better than Stukov and now White Mane is better than Malfurion. It's just that there's a difference to the play style. So to me, the way I look at it is I kind of say, okay, well, they're all kind of playing a similar game, but there's subtle differences. So for her, you have sort of the same thing as Stukov, but when you look at the differences, it's, okay, you're responsible for spreading. It's not going to automatically spread. But the twist to that is they're also not going to automatically regain hit points. You doing damage is what's going to enhance that. The plus side that Stukov doesn't have is with the way her Q works, you can essentially spam the equivalent of Stukov's D for healing.
Right.
The only penalty to that is that you're going to burn through your mana. But she does get abilities through her talent tree where doing that will actually confer bonuses.
You burn through all of it. I think I pressed Q on Malfurion in try mode 3 times at level 1 and I was out. Like, it's a lot of mana you burn through, I'm pretty sure. It was bad. I was out of mana, and I had to go tap a well. I don't think spamming 3 heals on somebody in quick succession is something you're going to be doing all that often, period. Maybe if you talent into it, but it feels bad to take talents that make you use less mana when it seems like there'd be cooler things to do. I don't know. I haven't played it too much, so I'm reserving all judgment.
I mean, she's not designed to spam it, but if you're in a situation where it's, hey, I can get us all out and burn my mana, or
it might be good burst.
I gotta save my mana and I don't want to lose that and then people die, you know, it's nice to have the
option. It's just there's a tension there, right? So let's say you have 3 charges of Q. I can hot my team. I know it's not a hot, but spare with me. You can tag my team with it. Or I can press it 3 times on the same hero for the burst healing.
Yeah,
it seems like that's the only reason you'd want to do it. If someone's super low and you go Q, 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 and then shoot out a W and just heal that guy like crazy.
Yeah.
Well, which might be interesting. It might be interesting decision making. I don't know.
Since I'm the one that'll... If we end up, you know, seeing her get played in our group, it'll probably be me who does it. I'm withholding judgment until I play her, but I don't know. I just can't tell. I do like the idea of a sexy religious zealot, though. I like that.
I think all
religion should be skin tight, sexy people up there going, hey, men too, just up there going, look at us, church. Let's make out.
The priest comes out in literally exactly White Mane's outfit. He's like, all right, everybody rise.
Yep.
I mean, to be fair, White Mane, you know, with the whole chapeau, her character is one that. It would say her hidden, not even a hidden sin, but her sinful side that she indulges in would be in vain fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure.
Vanity.
Also,
and I mean, that's how she's always looked. Even in WoW, she wore no pants.
Yeah, she's always been pantsless. It's fine.
So it's...
It's fine. It's just I got... I just want to make it known that I got John's joke about everybody rise. I thought that was pretty good.
I'm glad you did.
Well done. All right. So there she is. She's coming. She's going to be here soon. When do we get her for real? It's not today. It's next week, right?
Yeah, probably next week.
Yeah.
Next week, I think.
But there are some big PTR changes, and we should talk about those. Some of these I'm a little bit worried about. Tromi, Stukov getting pretty heavy-handed changes to talents. I wouldn't call them reworks so much as I would just big talent shuffles. I'll let you guys speak to the Chromie stuff because I don't really don't play her much. But when it comes to Stukov, I don't know, man. I can't tell yet. And I haven't touched him on the PTR, so I couldn't tell you there either. But he's changing. So things that I really rely on, especially in late game, like some pretty heavy-duty hand-anus action. I should probably use the right term. Lurking arm.
What is it even? Does anyone even know?
It's just lurking arm. Isn't lurking arm? Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Lurking arm where we...
Look, if you've made it to this episode of Core, you probably know what Scott means when he says hand anus.
Yeah, I just shouldn't say hand anus action in the same phrase is what I'm getting at. But anyway, I almost called him a G. He has this silence ability that is pretty much unparalleled in the game as far as I'm concerned. And in terms of frequency of use and range and versatility, I love that thing. And we use it a lot in fights, and it makes a lot of sort of game changing moments happen, and it's great. That a lot of that is being nerfed, not entirely, but a chunk of it. Like, I don't get the range boost on it from a talent that I would normally get at a lower level. I gotta wait for that until later in the game. To get more specific, for example, let's see, I'll tell you, I thought I had it handy and I don't. Here we go, Stukov. Weird, why is it doing that? Okay, here it is. So they changed a bunch of stuff. Low blow, your E has been moved from level 13, that's now at level 1. This has bonus damage reduced from 150 to 100. Popping pustules no longer has a quest component. By the way, two quest component type questy things were moved, that's one of them. The new functionality has been added. It's detonating a weighted pustule within 1.5 seconds of it expiring, increases its damage by 100%, and applies its damage to and slows in an area. This is them, the explosion radius reduced a little bit, but this is them trying to put more emphasis on W in general. And I cannot speak to how this stacks up in meta pro play or anything like that, but it seems to me that nobody's using W very much.
My experience playing him as well.
Yeah, you're holding your D for heals. For heals. Yes. Continue.
I've done this build a couple times, though, early on. I love the booger build.
Yeah, you enjoyed that. I remember you talking about it.
But yeah, I love the booger build, so if they want to buff it, please.
Yeah, that's all this seems like they're doing here is trying to get people to use it more. And I understand that. I don't want to have a totally, I don't want to have a implied two-button Terry when there are three buttons to use. I just hardly ever do. And when I do, I try to be strategic about it. It seems like an opportunity to slow somebody at the right moment. But a lot of times it's super late game. Early game, W just does nobody any good at all. It's just sort of there. And so... I like that they're boosting that.
I always
that.
Forget what the baseline W does, like without pressing D. I couldn't tell you.
It slows and has...
No, it slows if you press D. It doesn't do anything if it just... if you just tag him with
does
a booger.
Does it do nothing? It has to do something,
I thought it.
Right?
I thought it damaged
them. It does something,
them.
But not much. Like, you have to press D to get slow.
Hold on, I'll look at it.
Yeah, look at it.
I know
that I can't
D
remember.
Is the slow.
I can't remember.
But if it's just a vanilla booger.
I thought it was that you got some initial slow and the D just made it a lot slower, kind of like you get an initial heal and the D makes a big heal.
I have it. I think you're right, Scott. Yeah. Hurl pustule that impacts all enemy heroes in a path, dealing 20 damage and slowing by 5%, increasing to 50% over 3 seconds.
Yeah.
Deals an additional 80 damage upon expiring or being removed.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's how that worked.
Know. That actually sounds really...
It's really bad. Because I usually tag people with the booger and it just doesn't look like it does anything. I'm like, okay.
Well, that's my point. I don't get the advantage of that at all. And when the advantage is really needed, it's when you hit the D, but then I miss the D on a heel and that feels bad.
Because the D, you feel it. They're just like, they're at max, like slow on the thing, I guess. I thought... It's so insignificant, I thought it only applied the slow on the D.
Right.
The D makes it 70% for 2 seconds and does 100 damage.
Right.
So,
right.
I had no idea it was that much of a slow. 50%
No, but it's not 50%. It's eventually 50%. So basically you have 0.25 seconds of 50% probably.
Correct. Like
nothing burger.
It doesn't feel like it's booger. A nothing booger. Yeah. That's the best use of the nothing burger I've heard before, by the way, is that right there. Slightly changed to spill booger instead of burger. Well done. But it's, yeah, give me more reasons to use that and have it be more useful and beneficial, then that's great. Because right now I rarely use it, mostly out of fear that I'm going to miss an important clutch heel. And I hate that feeling when that happens. I don't even like to be on cooldown with my clutch heels, so... let alone on cooldown because I decided to slow somebody a little bit. So, yeah, W does need some love. Now, here's where I start to get grumpy. Level 7, within my reach. It's an upgrade to E, which is your hand anus. It gives you, or did give you, I want to say, what, 20% increased range?
It was 50% increased range.
50%, you're right. Is a big jump, is a nice big range jump, and I picked it every time because I like getting all the way in there and they can't do a whole lot except try to find me and kill me, and it's a great way for me to stay out of trouble, but cause a lot of trouble at the same time. They've just straight up removed it. Gone, done, poof. Like a pustulated booger popped with your D. They got rid of within my reach, and I am
bummed. They took out the 50% range, but they added it to the level 13 talent in hungers.
Yeah, but the hungers.
But it's only 20%.
Correct.
So it's 5 levels later, or 6 levels later, and it's basically 2/5 of what it was before. Like it's
big. Right. There are no changes to level 16.
Or it's 1/5.
Right. That's a much slower. I mean, it'll work, and in truth. It's more of a harass mechanism early in the game, and late game range isn't actually helping me that much. Like, it's usually in the scrum of things, and you're much closer, and the 20% will probably be plenty for what I would normally do anyway. But in early game, I'll miss being that kind of harassing element of, at level 7 anyway, being able to just sort of plop that down in places where the other team is trying to get work done. I miss that.
Yeah, or
I
will miss it's going to make you play a little riskier.
Yeah, which is, you know...
because it's not removing the functionality, but now you definitely have to be a little more...
Yeah.
Well, you can be a little less reactionary, right? Because if you're further away, you know, and somebody makes a sudden move and you go, oh, I want to silence there, you can... odds are you're going to be able to do it, whereas now you might have to move forward to do it.
Right. And speaking of Chromie, it was very effective against her because of her range.
Yeah.
I was one of the only things that could disrupt her business from range. And cause her trouble. And I loved doing that to her specifically. So that bums me out. Everything else, it doesn't bother me. The other changes seem okay. It's fine. Bonus healing got reduced from 50% to 30%. When it comes to top off.
It's fun
stuff to
mess with Hammer, Sergeant Hammer as well.
Yeah.
And that Talon in particular is pretty good for getting around Sergeant Hammer's range.
Yep.
It was always kind of nice to be able to tickle Hammer.
Yeah.
And now you're going to be taking shots when you're trying to tickle her.
Yeah, and I don't like that. So I'm a little bit bummed by it, but I don't feel like this is a complete mess or anything. I think it'll be fine. What they're looking for, they say in their notes, is a diversity of play styles and builds. They're trying to make it so that people aren't going down the path of one or two builds, and I get that with the team's desire to do that, and I think that's better for the game. It's healthy, but just I'm feeling extra sensitive just because he's my man. And I don't
want him. No, I know. You've really grown to like playing that character. And
yeah,
they do what has often been the case. Is sometimes when they change a hero that you find annoying, you're like, yay. And when it's the hero you play and the changes are not favorable,
yeah,
sucks. I still think they made a mistake changing the cooldown on Breath of Heaven on Kerazim from 10 to 8.
Yeah.
I just don't know why they need to mess with it. It didn't change anything.
It didn't.
I quit
playing Kerazim. Sorry about John.
Now, granted, Heroes Hearth is not a collection of data like HOTS logs, but they populate their popularity percentage based on what people are recommending in their guides.
Yeah.
And if you go down his talent tree, because I happen to have it open looking up the information, everything but his level 20 talent has a 100% suggested pick rate. Oh, not yeah, a look single at that. Person is recommending a different talent in their guides.
Which
for
is
lurking arm?
Yeah, well, for everything.
For current Stukov, as he stands.
Oh, I know, but I mean, if they're all lurking arm talents, is what I'm
for
asking.
The most part, yeah. For the most part. Not entirely, but mostly. When they can, they are, because some talent trees are about something else, but where every choice is not affecting that.
Yeah,
but,
I mean, like, level 13, there's, like, 3 lurking arm talents. I liked Low Blow, actually. They messed with Low Blow. They put it at level 1.
Yeah, was it 13? Let's see, 150 more damage to enemy heroes below. Oh, I did that too. That was always my pick. That's the weird thing here is the detonating pustule thing doesn't stop the spread at 13 being the 100% pick here. This is where I've always diverted from common.
So, like, everyone takes virulent reaction because they know it's obviously the better talent, but it's also hard to do.
Yeah.
You don't just walk up to anyone and play Stukov. By the way, take this talent. It's awesome. It's really complicated to execute. You got to W people, which, as Scott pointed out, no one does.
Right.
And then you've got to arm them. And then you have to have D not on cooldown that you didn't use a heal to root them for 2 seconds. This is the pick that, like, everyone's like, this is the good pick. And then no one takes it because they can't do it.
Yeah.
I think I took Lingering Spines because I'm a Stukov. I gotta look that up. And I like the way Lingering Spines work.
Yeah, Lingering Spines is pretty cool. The idea of it staying there after you've stopped it is cool. 100%. But I always go Low Blow because it's a team thing. When I play with you guys are burning opponents down, and I see an opportunity. It's like, oh my gosh, there are two tanks and 2 damage dealers in there, and they're all almost dead. Not only will this silence send all their spells to hell and they won't be able to do anything but auto attack, but they won't have a lot of time to react, and by the time they try to walk out of there, I will kill them because they're 25% health or less. It's great. Like, it's a really satisfying thing to go. It's almost like a finishing move. It requires you guys to do something first, but once you've done it, I can come in there and go, all right, let's finish this off. And it's very satisfying. I think Low Blow is awesome.
Yeah. So anyone want to take a guess as to its actual popularity, even though 100% of builds recommend it?
I'm going to say it's 40%. Oh, wait. Are we talking about the one that was 100%? What its
yes.
Actual
the one that's 100% according to Heroes Hearth users are like, take this talent always. It's the best talent.
20%.
Okay. Scott,
I'll say, just to be different, I'll say half, 50.
And these are all the builds in the last week. It's 25.
25? So what? It's not split 4 ways, though, right? What's the heavy pick?
Oh, the biggest build, the most popular one and highest winningest one is the reactive ballisto spores, actually.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, it's the lowest pick. Sorry, the lowest picked one.
Oh,
but the only actual positive win rate is reactive ballisto spores. I'd say Low Blow is actually the highest win rate with a comparable amount of pick.
Yeah.
It seems like most people take Lingering Spines. And to be fair, that's like the easiest talent. Just stays for another couple seconds after.
That's why I cancel it.
Yeah, that's why John likes it.
But Low Blow does it. Like, you don't see it add up, but Hammer likes to sit around or, like, you know.
Yeah.
Sonya thinks, oh, she's good. Let me spin to win on these heroes. And you're just like, chug, 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 chug. That thing ticks fast.
Yeah, it really does.
You know, she's like, she's out of gas and she's dead. Like, it's great.
Yeah.
It's a really good talent. Catches I see why they nerfed guard. It, but also sucks.
Yeah, I love that pick. And I always thought it would be untouchable because no one supposedly took it. So I thought, well,
it's like a lot of thing in the Euros is like you hear one thing from the community and then everyone does the other thing. And it's like, well, can't be that bad if you're all not doing this.
Yeah,
other thing.
That's a weird side effect. But yes, I'm going to miss. I mean, anything here in these talking points where he got his hand nerfed just bums me out. Mm-hmm. It's okay, though. Otherwise, I think everything else looks fine.
I mean, you technically still have it. It's just now this real sad heartbreaker is you have to choose between at level 1 extended handiness or powerful hand.
Yeah,
you know, because the 2 talents are now level 1. Low Blows at level 1 and whatever the one that makes it big,
and you gotta go big. I'm never gonna pick Low Blow again. I have to have a big hand anus.
Yeah, big is good. Like, seriously,
it's a number 1 pick for a reason. It's
It covers up the Leorican tomb a lot better. You know, like you don't have to be as precise, and it's harder for them to walk out of.
Yeah, and the other one's like a manhole. It's like that thing on Towers of Doom you can teleport through.
Plus, I would argue that the increased size of it, even though you were picking it anyway, also is a small step, in covering up for the range nerf as well. Because if you can get more range out of the radius of it, you know, you don't have to be quite as far forward.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Plus, I can cover entire gates. I can cover, like, they can't get through the gate without walking through my poop. And that's
a classic Stukov move. Like, get hammer up, nail in the fort while you put the hand anus in the doorway and say, come at us.
Yeah,
like,
come in here. You're going to take damage and you can't do anything. So have fun. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a great thing. And it's still a great thing. It's just a little more of a risky thing. And it's okay. It's all right. I'm trying to be positive about it, and I'm going to stay that
way. You'll be okay.
How about Chromie? Tell me about her deal. I don't play Chromie, so what's up with her deal?
I had a look at these changes. It looks like some stuff was nerfed, but some stuff was not nerfed. It's real weird. The biggest thing that jumped out at me and is going to jump out to everyone is her basic attack range was increased to 7.
What?
I think this is among the highest, if not, I think Hanzo is the only one higher. I think he's got 7.5, I think. This is a huge deal. This was basically on a talent, and they said, well, this talent, bronze talents, is so popular. Let's bake that part in. And now bronze talent still exists here. Oh, no, it's removed. And they removed the talent. Okay.
Remove the talent, but bake the functionality
in. Yeah, they bake the functionality in. Now, the thing they did nerf was Q was a built-in quest at a certain point. They changed it so that Q increased in damage as you hit heroes. It no longer gains bonus damage.
Okay.
So it's now flat. And here's something I didn't know. The scaling on Sandblast was 2. Remember, I've been railing every week about how scaling is 4% across the board with certain exceptions?
Yeah.
The scaling on this was apparently 2% on her Q.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's annoying. Like, it's not anywhere in game that it has reduced. Like, I'd like to know this. So it's reverted back to 4% like everything else. So in theory, as she levels, it should still be as damaging, I think. Because I think the reason they would have ever given it 2 in the first place is because they gave her a stacking damage quest baked into her Q.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my assumption. Because Asmodan has the same treatment. Globe does less damage because it has a damage stacking talent baked into it.
Right.
The cast time has been decreased, so it will hit faster. You'll have less time to dodge it.
Great.
Can't tell if it's a nerf or not. It seems nerfy, but maybe not. I think it's still going to suck getting nailed with it.
Nerfed for who, though? Like, it feels like it's nerfed for...
For Chromie. For Chromie's effective. If you're a Chromie player, you know, you want as much damage as you can on all your abilities. Yeah. I don't know if taking the stacking off, then increasing it back to 4%, I'd have to do a spreadsheet and figure that out. But
I mean, it's maybe a buff to bad Chromies and a nerf to Chromies.
Yeah, that's like, what I'm saying. That's a great way of putting it. That's what my impression is. But
Her Sandblast quest was
nerfed, but I don't know how much 2 is going to affect the range of that thing.
Was it nerfed by range? Yeah, not by much. It's still really far.
Yeah.
It's still far. That's still far.
It's still stupid far, as far as I'm concerned.
So the unlock requirement for the quest is now 50, which makes sense. I find people get that quest really late. They should get their reward sooner. 50 is all right, but it is a buff to Chromie.
Yeah.
And that basically increases the damage of her Q by 40% or something like that. So look out for that. Dragon's Breath. The big deal here is that, like Asmodan, it's now visible 0.5 seconds before it splats.
Okay.
So you actually have a chance to see where it's going to dump the cat litter and move out of the way.
Right.
Which could be a pretty big nerf. I know when I play Chromie, I usually go W build. I rely on W build a lot because I know they can't see it coming. And even take the lower cooldown and reduce damage, knowing I'll get more consistent hits with it. I think it's really good. And I think this is where there's a hardline nerf. The damage is reduced. The range is reduced. Cooldown got reduced. Well, that seems okay.
You know who'll never get hit by this again? Tracer will never get hit by this again, ever. She was already not really getting hit by it. But if you were a Chromie that was hitting a Tracer because you're that good as Chromie, you were leading them, whatever, with W, that stops today. Well, that stops when this goes live, because there's no way they don't see that coming now. It is a nerf. It's a nerf.
Loop them, and hopefully they don't have any tricks. So, I feel like there's a way to glitch out temporal loop, but I don't really know it. But sometimes it happens, and I feel like it's on purpose. People will do it. It's really annoying.
You mean like an exploit or like an intentional?
Oh, Bronze Talons is baked in. Okay, so she has it baked in. So the whole thing. So hitting an enemy hero with a basic ability increases the damage of Chromie's next basic attack by 100%. So Bronze Talent was a big pick because it increased the range and it made the auto attack really beefy.
Yeah.
And that those numbers add up. And so she's going to be kind of dangerous to get auto attacked from. It's going to be 200 or 300 points of damage you're getting nailed with.
The nice part is even with the extended range of 7, having her fighting you, taking advantage of that at a range of 7 is still better than her standing at a range of 17, just dumping sand at you.
It just means, you know, like usual, don't be super low when you go into her, because you're probably going to hit a time trap, and then she's going to auto you and take a bunch of life off. It's going to be rough.
Right.
I don't know. The rest of the changes seem to be, like, talent diversity changes. Not too much.
See, this is a more normal Heroes Hearth layout. Look at her. If you look at her talent breakdown, and again, like John said, these numbers are not, you know, indicative of actual play. This is just builds. But look at the diversity of percentages. It's so much. This is what I think Blizzard wants more of. And the Stukov one was like 100, 100, 100, 100. Like it was just a straight across the board, very little variation, 100% pick on every level, where she's got a lot of diversity. Just as a little throwback to our conversation before, this is I think this is closer to what Blizzard is looking for in a hero.
You should push the button where it says last week and switch it to past 3 months, because I don't know how many people make a build per week on the site.
Where is this?
If you're looking for aggregate, top right.
So last 3 months?
Yeah, like just make your range wider just to get a better aggregate.
It's even more. Yeah, you're right. It's even more diverse. That's interesting.
I mean, I might not go a full year because there probably have been changes, but past 3 months is probably. I wish it said the number of builds it was pulling from, because it might just be 2.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't know.
That would be good data to know. Last 3 months for Stukov is a little more diverse, but you still see it very weighted in the areas that you'd think.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, Chromie, still a threat.
Yeah, the part I'm curious about is how is she just trolling Towers of Doom and keeping you out off the tower shots, like that 2 changed to range. Does that put an end to her days of being able to stand in complete safety of her base and interrupt every time you click it? I don't know. Probably not. That seems like that's not a big enough nerf.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like she's still going to be super annoying on maps like that.
Yeah,
maybe that's okay.
She'll continue to be a pain in the arse. I mean, she is one of those characters that when we start a game and I see that they have a Chromie, I just automatically get nervous. I just go, oh, if they're a good Chromie, we're screwed. And then
your hand anus tightens up.
Yeah, right? It does. My hand anus tightens up and nothing's getting through.
Clenches.
And then, but when, if she's a bad Chromie, it's like the best game ever. I love a bad Chromie who doesn't know how to lead, who doesn't have their timing down. Like just, if they just suck, it's great. It's a really good feeling. Anyway, Chromie, good job. Well done. Anything else to say about Chromie that we've missed?
This is neat for hardcore Chromie players, but not that exciting.
Not that big a deal. All right, now let's talk about the thing that kind of caught everybody a little bit off guard, I think. It did me. This quick after White Mane's announcement to have a big announcement regarding a new skin event was right on the tail of this thing, like immediately. And that surprised me. Were you guys surprised? It seemed really fast to me to have this happen.
It was released on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And like, especially the tease at the end. Cause like, I thought, oh, okay, they're announcing new skins. I mean, we'll get to the tease, but like, I thought, okay, well, they decided to release the skins video. And then there's even something a little extra thrown in there. And it's like, oh, wow. Whoa. Okay.
Cool. Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, this was really cool.
Oh, it's really cool. It's amazing. It's nothing wrong with it. Like, it's amazing. It's incredible. It's just more. It's right along the lines of what I'd love that they've done in the past and they're doing now. I love the Mad Max stuff. I really like this stuff. Speaking of Stukov, this might be my favorite looking skin ever. I love this. this whole, like, instead of that arm being a big fleshy disgusting infestation, it's a big mechanical arm with a bunch of like Bane like tubes of coolant and stuff coming out of it. He looks like some operative from G.I. Joe. Like, it's so
good.
The
opening actually looks like the Force Awakens scene on the Starkiller base.
Right.
When Hux comes out and stuff, it's got this like, there's like Volskaya robots in it and everything. It looks amazing.
For some reason, their video is not on their page where they announce this stuff. I was going to show that to the chat room. I have to go look at it on their YouTube channel or something. But yeah, that's the one I'm looking for. So just look at this chat room. Like, this came out Sunday. You got this weird opening business. Here's a little sound even. It's like, I mean, it's very provocative imagery. It's like, ooh, it's like a... My blade is ready to be unleashed. Oh my gosh, it's so cool. The music's really good too. But anyway, it's like super villains. Like I say, Stukov's arm is like this big mechanical thing. You got Anna running around with her like Cobra Commander crap. And then who's the other one? Genji?
Yeah.
Genji, yeah.
Skull mask
Genji with his cool stuff. Anyway, it looks awesome. But, well, okay, let's talk about the skins. They look great. Any complaints, any problems, any questions about skins before we get to the part about this video that everyone's talking about?
I have no complaints, but I think I'm gonna get off easy because none of these are heroes I play.
Oh, that's true.
But I really like the mount, and I have a feeling it's gonna be like a bundle deal. And so I might not actually get off easy.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. These are all heroes I like to play, and they're all amazing.
Yeah.
And this whole thing is purchased, like, already spent money.
Yeah, it's a must get for me. I don't even play Anna, or again, I'm only playing one of these characters, really. But I'm really stoked.
Both Genji and Stukov are legendaries, and they have their own VO.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's just modulated lines or new VO, but... they've been really going hard on the paint with like at least new taunt lines and stuff.
Yeah. Which I like a lot. That stuff's great. It looks really good. Okay, now, so chat room, I've paused it here. As you can tell, this video has zoomed out a little bit. I'll give it the volume so you can hear how this ends. It backs out, and then this happens. All right. Then somebody punches it, and there are two clues here. One, the arm that punched it. Let me back it up a little bit.
You can use the brackets to like frame by frame it.
Let's see if I can. There we go. I don't know whose hand that is. And some people have said, hey, that's Soldier 76's hand. Or that's, well, you know, who knows? Or maybe it's an existing character who's just getting a skin. But then why would they do that? The skin pack's not going to include whoever that is. And it just feels like a big fat tease. Plus, there's this photo at the end of this girl and a little kitty.
I think it's a pig.
Oh, is it a pig? Oh, it is a pig. So here's my current new guess. You ready?
Okay.
This is the hand to me looks kind of beefy and it's got straps on it. And this picture's of a little kid with a pig. I think it's Roadhog.
No.
I think it's Roadhog. And wait, let me play the voice again. Just so you can hear that. Okay. All right, here you go. That could totally be Roadhog.
It's a little too intense for Roadhog, I think. No?
I don't know. Maybe.
Roadhog's a little more... I mean, it's not a bad guess. And certainly, I've stared at this thing for several hours.
Yes,
what I can't
full detective on this one.
What I can tell for sure is that the glove, it's wearing a glove,
yeah,
black, and it's bare wrist you're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
That looks like a knife handle pointed up. It doesn't appear to be attached to the glove. The glove also seems to have a rope, like it's like almost like a bag pulled over your hand and then a rope tied around the wrist. And I was like, Lucio maybe wears a glove, and Blackthorn came up as a glove-wearing dude. But I don't know.
Blackthorn, maybe. There's a lot of talk about Blackthorn. But, dude, that's not Lucio. No way. Even like...
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't think it's Lucio either. Like, but the girl's really throwing me. It's like that girl's got to mean something, right?
Yeah.
That's not just random, but I can't picture a current character in game with an association to that girl. And that art style really reminds me of, you know, in StarCraft, in between missions and the campaign, mm-hmm. you can see photographs of people painted on the walls.
Sure.
And had an art style. Like, there's one of Kerrigan before she became a Zerg queen, and it's very like painted. And this reminds me of that. It's very painted, but it's like a photograph. Like, in the game, you're looking at a Polaroid, but it's right. painted in the game.
Right.
It's weird. But it works. It's cool. And that this is a Polaroid, like you find in the StarCraft Wings of Liberty campaign on various walls.
Yeah.
So it's really got me going on the StarCraft vibe, and it's really got me on a Tosh, a Gabriel Tosh vibe. Oh. He also has a knife that he sticks into the voodoo doll to actually do voodoo stuff with in, like, in-game. If you remember, he plays around with a knife and a voodoo doll.
Yeah. And I mean, not to be weird, but ethnically speaking, this could be his daughter, you know?
Yeah.
She looks like him.
I mean, yeah, something. And the Spectre, red and black, is very much the Viper Ascendant trailer is very red and black. And Gabriel is very red and black in terms of his armor and art in the game. So that's for the only thing that's thrown me is the rope on the glove thing. It doesn't really look like spaced power armor, but
yeah, Tosh has been like, he tends to look a little futuristic, I thought, but then again, this is him.
If this is him, he's mad at a screen of guys in skins who are otherwise not in these skins. You know what I mean?
Like, well, you assume it'd be a good guy. Vipers are bad guys, right? Like, this Viper thing is clearly,
it'd be like a hero. Sure. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I love this kind of thing, though. I like dumb teases, and it's fun to speculate about.
And it could just be a skin, too. Like, that's the other thing, is this could just be... So one of my thoughts that I had was this was a very... you know, they call it Viper, which immediately made me think G.I. Joe because of Cobra.
Yeah.
Bo pointed out it reminded him of Command & Conquer, and I think that's right. The Brotherhood of Nod kind of vibe is in there as well. So it could be that maybe the next skin pack to come out is the other side of that. So we would get G.I. Joe, or we would get, you know, GDI-inspired skins to go oppose that. And this could be a skin for somebody else.
I have a weird secret thing I can also say to confirm your theory.
Mm.
Oh, yeah?
Well, I was looking through the sound files today and do this week's show.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I saw that the Genji sound files were labeled Genji Viper. Ooh. That's the name of the skin.
Yeah.
The Stukov skin is named Stukov Army.
Army.
Yeah, and I forgot to look up Anna's, actually.
You should look hers up, because they could all be...
Well, I can't do it right now. That would help. But it made me think, like, oh, maybe Stukov was originally intended to be on the good guy's side, and then he got switched over to the bad guy's side. Because he was still labeled Stukov Army. Why wouldn't he be Stukov Viper, since they're all Viper?
Yeah, but then so again... So maybe feel like,
oh, there's an army.
The visual, like, of something like... The Stukov Army is a pretty provocative idea.
Like, I mean, but it just might be, you know, the Joes, the G.I. Joes.
No, it totally could be. Yeah. When they're done, they
might be like Buster and call them Army.
Here's what they're going to do. They're going to teach us like a life lesson. And at the end, they'll say this phrase. They'll say, and understanding is a portion of the fight.
A portion of the fight.
Instead of knowing is half the battle, they'll say that. That would be my favorite thing they could do. But they did
a PSA video for the next one. Oh my gosh, how good would that be?
The thing that's throwing me in all of this, and I got so far down a rabbit hole, was I was looking up G.I. Joe good guy characters to see if any of them had a daughter.
Yeah.
Like, did Duke have a daughter? Is that the reference here? I couldn't find anything.
I don't know.
I never watched G.I. Joe. I like Transformers, not G.I. Joe.
Dude, G.I. Joe had its moments.
They were kind of themed. They were kind of like the village people.
They were.
Does anyone know? Does anyone know in chat room? Was there a...
That's what I loved about these old cartoons. And actually, Transformers is the same. Everything is themed. I don't know what else to compare it to. There was no sameness to anybody. It's like, this is the cowboy one. And this is the one who doesn't ever talk and is super mysterious.
Here's a ninja. Here's a cowboy. Here's a sailor. Here's an astronaut.
Yeah.
Here's our native. Here's our shameful Native American trope.
Yeah.
Right. It literally, when you describe the characters in G.I. Joe, I'm just saying you could be describing the village people.
You really
could.
It
could go either way.
Yeah.
Here's our construction worker.
it all just depends on what they sing at the end.
Yeah. Do they sing or do they fight and miss every shot they make?
Do they say, jump back, na 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 na, or do they say, go Joe? That's your determining moment when you know which you've got.
But I could see this skin being like a, I don't know, like a weird. I think the arm looks a little, because it looks like it's bending already, and you're not seeing a lot of it, so it looks a little stout. So my first thought was like a Muradin, just like a Muradin costume of some kind.
Anna's also called Army. It's Anna Army. It's Anna Army, Stukov Army, and Genji Viper. And he still has mentioned the chat. Apparently, the Twitter said it was another evil organization. Like, it's not good guys slamming the
Who said this? Wing. It's the official Twitter account did?
E-Style said that this Twitter said it was another evil org.
Oh, we need some links there, E-Styles. Get us some...
E-Styles.
Is it, how do you say it? E-Styles.
I don't know. You could be right. I didn't think of that. I thought it was like e-cigarettes.
Here's the quote. The terrorist organization Viper wasn't the only criminal paramilitary outfit that had desire to conquer the world, but they were the first to accomplish their sinister goals. And so this is another... potentially another organization. It's like, damn it, they beat us to it.
That's great.
Yeah.
I want this world where it's just evil organizations that all were a little late to the party and now fighting each other.
It sounds like a really good premise for almost a movie or something.
Yeah.
Like a good parody of this stuff. Anyway, that's the thing. Mm. That's your Viper stuff, and it all looks great. So I'm very excited. It's a weird mix of heroes, though. Two Overwatch heroes and one, at least for now, one StarCraft hero, and that's it. Usually, I feel like they've tried to diversify that a bit, so having two Overwatch heroes in there is a little bit weird, but it's fine. Whatever. Not going to complain. So that's that. Coming soon. We get that same time next week, do you think? All at once?
Yeah. Yeah. It's okay. All in one shot in the new patch.
Sweet. So I've already forgotten who's our newest hero before Lady Pant, No Pants.
That'd be Urel,
right. Lady Full Pants, we call her. She had full pants. That means something else, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, she's pooped her Draenei pants.
She pooped them.
It's a Draenei poop. I don't know. They might be different. They might be ashy.
No, this is what goats. They're goats. If you've been to a zoo lately,
be little round pebbles.
Yes,
don't know.
Yes, like goats do. But they don't, and they don't warn you. If you go to a petting zoo and you're a little kid and you're petting a goat, the goat will suddenly stop and go, and then just pebbles fall out of the back like a factory for Cocoa Puffs. Just. Yeah. So that's what she does. Urel will just be running around going, I am here for the light or whatever. And then she'll suddenly stop and go, and then
her tail just lifts a little bit.
They do live for 10,000 years or so. So 70,000 years. So I imagine that their poop is pretty.
I can't stop picturing it.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Well, thank you, E-Styles, for digging that up. That's added certainly to the conversation. Before we get to a quick email, I would like to remind people that this weekend, as in most weekends, There Will Be Dungeons is airing on Saturday at 3 p.m. Mountain Time. You want to check this out because we are having a blast with our current D&D run. Bo is our DM. If you haven't listened to this yet, you're thinking, man, maybe I should finally check it out. Yes, you should. Bo's the DM. I'm in there. John's there. Kristen and Kyle are, of course, there. And we're making all sorts of sparks fly with some pretty crazy stuff happening lately. So you want to check it out. I'm going to read it as it's written here, though, in this paragraph by John Jagger. So here is his description.
Does not reflect the actual product in any way.
Not at all. This is a complete mislabeling of what There Will Be Dungeons is.
Do you have the music for it? You do it with the music.
What did we do last time? Just...
He did like a TV thing, show thing. Yeah,
oh, the Oprah thing. Yeah, let's do that. John, do you want to read it if I do this again?
Sure.
Okay, let me get the song handy. I'm going to put it in a place where I can actually control it. Okay. All right, John, well now, almost a Dear Martha style, do this. So here we go. Here's your music.
There Will Be Dungeons is an exciting tabletop adventure presented on Twitch.
It stars Mark, Leslie, Dirk, and Joe as they lead dangerous double lives. By day, they are daring executives who answer to only one thing, the bottom line. However, by night, they turn into their beastatars. We've got a ghost, a dragon, a bigger dragon, and a triceratops. Together, they might be the only thing able to stop the evil supergroup Societal Standards and their vile ruler, Russ.
Oh, freaking Russ, man. You got to watch out for the vile leader, Russ. He's trouble every time.
Fun little fact that makes this a little less completely made up. Russ is the name of my middle school principal.
Really?
Uh-huh.
What was his... What's his full name? Can you say it, or is it doxy to say it?
It might be doxy. I don't want to get you in trouble. He was a good guy. There's all nothing right. bad about him. He's not vile at all. So, but I...
You guys call him Russ the Puss?
No.
Russ the Puss.
Middle school was where I learned an interesting trick that if I ever got in trouble, if I just went and ratted myself out to the principal before word got out, I didn't get in trouble for anything.
Yeah, I learned that once. That's actually a pretty good trick.
Hey, Mr. Principal, selling crack cocaine to the kids over at the junior high across the street. Well, that's fine, Sonny, because you told me.
They'll go. They just go easy now. They go easier.
Control the narrative, and it worked really well until all my friends got detention and I didn't, and then my friends turned upon me.
Oh yeah, though, so, I'm sure they were pissed.
Yeah,
there's fallout for all that. You got to be careful. All right. Well, that was great. I love that. Let's do this. It's time for an email. This came to us at core@heroesforyou.com. That's core@heroesforyou.com. And it came to us from Sam, who says the following. This is after our episode last week. It says, hi, guys. I was listening to episode 138 about the White Mane discussion and how she is a more obscure WoW character. After watching her spotlight video, I wonder if the Heroes team has started creating kits first and then finding heroes that will fit that particular kit. I've actually thought about this before, so this is interesting. White Mane is meant to replicate a disciplined priest from World of Warcraft, and other priests in WoW don't really fit the disciplined priest build, i.e. Velen, etc. So perhaps Blizzard is not running out of big characters to use. They just have simply shifted from building kits to meet specific characters to finding characters that meet specific kits. I think this might be a good thing since it gives it more creative freedom to make new heroes. Thanks. Love the show, Sam. Interesting. It's kind of like... I used to think that cartoons, for example, and maybe this is true of some, but I used to think that they would draw all the cartoons first and then have the people come in and do all the voices for it.
Yeah.
That's not how it works, turns out. It's the complete opposite. They record the audio and then they animate around the audio. So chicken and egg kind of question here, but what do you guys think? John, do you think is this possible that we're getting it's kit before character, and is that okay with you?
It makes sense. I'm good either way, though. Honestly, I think White Mane was a very good eye opener to how excited I am that they can mine more obscure characters. I mean, I know there was a lot of people online, I don't even know who White Mane is, but like, first of all, it's exciting for someone. You know, there's someone out there who's excited about the character. So, you know, maybe let people enjoy their thing. And two, it just kind of made me realize, like, oh my gosh, that's right. There's all these characters that aren't setting the World of Warcraft on fire that are also a part of that universe and doing... like would be really cool to see moved into this game.
Yeah.
And so I'm all about it. However they come to it, I'm good with it. I think obscure or big name characters are great.
Did you actually say setting the World of Warcraft on fire? I just want to make sure that you said that. Okay. No, yeah. not a reference to anything that's happening.
Nothing controversial happening around fire these days.
No.
Fire, not at all. Very neutral element.
Very neutral. Doesn't seem to be aggressive. Well,
missed a lot of the energy last week from she got announced after we did the show. A week went by and all the people who had things to be something to say, that's kind of gone.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of people arguing about whether she was a priest or a paladin.
Yeah, that's true.
Some people are like, she's clearly a priest, but her abilities were renamed.
Right.
You know, paladin style things. And other people were, you know, like this was like threads and threads and Twitter conversations. No, she's a paladin and they ruined paladins. And it's like, no, she's a priest, but give her abilities that have priest names.
Yeah.
And like, just, you know, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know that I agree with all this, but at the same time, I mean, it's clearly very priesty.
Yeah, very
whether priesty. Whether it has paladin names or not, or whether you think it's a paladin, I'm like, the laser of healing and the zeal, like, it's priest all day.
She's not a nice priest, but she's a priest.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
She's not a nice.
If you don't like their iteration, like, there, I think there are people who would legitimately say, Valera got the WoW rogue treatment on the kit, and I was looking forward to my priest treatment on a priest kit.
Oh yeah.
And they're disappointed by White Mane, I would say, yeah, you should be disappointed because that's not the treatment it got. But the Heroes team is also not trying to translate one to one all the classes, so your expectation is off.
Right. You shouldn't also expect three more specs.
Yeah. That's
whatever. But you two, just should,
you know.
Like a lot of the stuff's inspired by, like, Varian's got the three different specs of warrior on his thing, but it's nothing like playing a WoW warrior.
No, neither is, yeah, neither is Garrosh. He's not the perfect archetype either. He's got some things. He's got stuff.
Valir is the only one that feels like very one-to-one, but I defer to John because he's a rogue main in World of Warcraft and he would know best, but
it feels a lot like playing a rogue. They did a really good job of being like, hey, what if you played a rogue in this?
Yeah.
But it's just her. There's no other hero. Like, Chen plays a bit like Brewmaster, but not really. Like, it's very different.
Yeah,
even if the abilities are the same.
And you know who doesn't play like a hero, play like a hunter, is Rexxar. He doesn't really play like a hunter at all.
He does no damage. That's not a hunter.
No. Plus, he's Lord of all hunters in World of Warcraft. Yet he doesn't feel like a hunter, and I'm okay with it. Like, I like the. When's the last time he played a shaman in World of Warcraft, and did he ever feel like Thrall does? No, I didn't play like that. Thrall's totally different.
Well, what about enhancement? I thought enhancement were really like,
well, they're electric-y and
they
all
hit,
that.
They hit things with a hammer a lot, don't they?
They do, yeah, they but it still doesn't feel like, I mean, it's still,
yeah,
it's,
I get what you're saying. It doesn't feel like you're playing the full rotation.
Yeah, like, it's, to me, it's
Lyra, like, has the buttons,
yes,
essentially.
Yes, like Varian is used as an example as a good one, because Varian is awesome and feels great and all those things, but he's not a perfect replication of a human warrior. It's kind of like saying shit wizard Khadgar is exactly like a wizard. He's nothing like, or excuse me, like a mage. Mages are all so, I mean, if mages had the abilities Khadgar did, or even freaking Jaina for that matter, we'd all be, everybody would be playing a mage. I mean,
and even Valera, who's so close to what she is in WoW, it's still a facsimile.
Right.
You know, it's still three combo points that you're working with. It's still, you're not sitting there hammering a rotation over and over and over again. You're still using moves in a very Heroes of the Storm way. It just happens to feel very similar to what you're doing as a rogue. So there's always going to be a little bit of a, hey, we're translating, especially when you then throw lore characters on top of it.
Right.
Because our lore characters aren't exact approximations of what we are in the game anyway. That's why they're lore characters.
The one exception is probably, will always be Overwatch will be very, I mean, I don't know what they'll do in the future. But all we've seen so far is like, yep, these are very clearly from Overwatch. Yeah. The exception. And they may change. That could change down the road. I mean, there are some weird things that some of those characters do that they're absolutely weird compared to what their Overwatch counterparts do.
The second ultimate. I mean, D.Va has two new ultimates, right?
Yeah, good point. And second ultimate across the board is different for everybody, and they all do different things. Like, it's that you can expect more one-to-one over there, but even they are more diverse than you think sometimes. So
yeah,
it's fine. People, if you're looking for like an exact translation of the character you play in WoW, I think you're barking up a tree. You shouldn't do that.
I mean, if you just want to say you don't like Sally Whitemane because you don't have a good reason, you just don't like her, then I understand you, because I kind of hate this character. Like, I'm not going to lie. My reaction's tamed down a bit, but I've been excited for a lot of the heroes that have released.
Yeah.
This is like tepid. This is like whatever. It's whatever'sville for me. Like, I'm just like, okay, it's another healer in here. It's some boss that was like annoying. There's nothing. just personal taste. It's not rational. It's not founded in any science. I'm probably 100% wrong. I want to be humble about it, but I don't care for this character at all. And that's just my personal
I think that's
taste,
totally so. Fine. I'm not that excited about her. I think she's, you know, I'm excited about what she brings to the game, but I'm not really jumping up and down. But I felt this way about other characters that I don't really have a connection to, and that's okay too. Hell, I didn't have really a connection to Stukov, and he turned my world around. So maybe she'll do the same thing. But as it stands, as a like a just purely
as an announcement,
yeah,
as a,
exactly.
Hey, guess who's coming to your game? It's your neighbor, Bill.
It's your neighbor, Bill.
I don't know, how'd you get Bill? He's so busy. You know, I was like, what? Like, to me, that's Sally's excitement level is like, okay, maybe I will like her someday, but
she needs a better name. Boring. Sally's a terrible first name for any character I'm supposed to be like interested. Like, if I've
killed her a billion times, and sometimes, you know, like, oh, you've killed this raid boss a lot, you have a lot of fond memories. Not with her, it was always annoying.
I just think she needs,
and that's just me. I just like, oh, yeah. This dungeon again. I hate this place full of humans. Ugh.
It's like, who are you? I am your worst crimson scarlet enemy priest lady. What's your name, though? Sally. Oh, shit. That's a stupid name. I mean, no offense to any Sallys out there, but it doesn't really inspire a bunch of fear or epicness. It's a dumb name.
Yeah.
Just saying. Fix that. That part they could fix. They could have called her anything else. Her name didn't need to be Sally Whitemane. That doesn't sound like the lady, the sexy lady Pope to me, does it? It doesn't at all. Sally Whitemane. That's your neighbor. That's who you borrow eggs and sugar from, Sally Whitemane.
Right. Yeah, but it turns out she's part of a cult, Scott.
But it's not a cool cult. Again, I'm not big on religious zealots. I realize they're in the game, but now you're asking me to play a good guy from a religious zealot, and I'm like, ah. I mean, I'm sure, look, the Heroes team are very talented. They will make a fun hero. This hero will be fun to play.
Yeah.
The art and PO, they've killed it. It's good. It's not that. It's just the character you chose sucks. Like, it's, I'm like, I'm going to play the Pope's angry lady inquisitor. Like, great. Like, that's so fun.
Well,
you know, on paper, it's not. And I saw the trailer and I saw the excitement. I'm just like, I'm just not excited for sassy, sexy crusader inquisitor lady. I just not.
Yeah.
And it's only subjective. It's not, if, like John said, there are people who like that kind of thing and they can be happy about it. That's great.
You like me. You and like
that's
it.
Just me being honest. Right, I'm right, like, right. I don't. Yeah. You like, had a woman of the light with the last hero release. That's Yidel, and she's amazing.
Yeah, she is a woman of the light.
I really like watching Bo try to find a rational reason why
there's no rational reason. I just hate her.
Like Sally Whitemane. He's like, I don't know. Maybe the last hero was a light hero too. I don't know. It's just something.
There's I like something it.
Because Yidel was so amazing. I loved her release, and I love her, and she's amazing. And then it's like, right on the heels of the awesome light character, we've got, you know.
Yeah, but there were people with
Join
Urel.
The Crusade!
There were people with Urel who sat there and were like, why'd you pick Urel? Why wasn't it Murad?
Why wasn't my meme as funny as Leroy Jenkins? Don't you all remember how funny I was? You know, it's like, come on, no.
I mean, sorry. But that's my point, Bo, is there's always someone who's like, why wasn't it this? Every time a hero comes out. When it was Urel,
I'm not saying
it was,
they shouldn't have done it. I'm not saying they shouldn't have done it. I'm just saying I don't like it. That's it. Stop. Full stop.
I
just don't like
it. I gotcha. I totally.
I don't. I'm not trying to. I don't. I know I'm trying to, but really, it's just subjective, and I don't have to have a rational reason for it.
No, you can just not like it on the surface.
You can just hate it. It's totally good.
And that's what I'm saying is I just don't like her.
I love your impression of it.
I think.
Join the crusade. I hate undead people.
Plus, my favorite thing is the amount of times Bo has had to do the, I hate this hero, it's so bad, it's so awful, and then 3 months after the character releases, he comes on and talks about it like he just saw a unicorn. He's like, guys, did you know Sally Whitemane is in this game? It's like, no, Bo, what is... She's the best hero in Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah,
let me tell
you
all about it.
All his avatars
changed.
I'm going
to be a Whitemane in 3 months.
Yeah, you'll be a Whitemane.
Exactly.
No, you'll be a Whitemane main. That's what you'll do. Yeah.
But I used to main black, but now I main white.
We'll log into Slack, and his avatar will be Sally Whitemane, and he'll have quotes on his Twitter. His Twitter bio will just say, join the crusade, I hate undead people, or whatever.
Every time someone says something funny, he'll just write back, instead of LOL, he'll just go,
Oh, I'm gonna hate that.
Yeah, but as it stands, announcement style, not a fan.
All right. Well, there you go.
See, we'll see if her stock rises.
I really hope Bo gets super into White Mane.
I do too.
I just want him to RP that so bad.
The good thing that you'll know is that I'm honest about these things. If I turn around, I'm not going
to
hide it.
You'll tell us. Yeah, you always cop to it. It's fine. I think it's great. Well, we'll see her next week. We'll see these PTR changes next week. Next week's a big release, I think, in terms of just the overall game. And, of course, those cool skins and mounts and all that business will be out as well. I think that's going to do it for the show. Thank you all for watching and listening. We are going to play games after this, so stick around. You want to see a little team play between us and all of us playing other people. That'd be great. Kristen and Kyle will be joining us, as far as I know. We are playing with them tonight, right? Right? Right.
Yeah.
Great. So that's coming up soon. Heroes4You.com is our website. You can support this show very simply and easily by going to patreon.com/coreshow. You've got like a buck in your wallet and you're like, man, I don't know where to put this. I don't know where to put this dollar. I got a great place for you to put it. patreon.com/coreshow. You can join us in the game all the time by just joining the Frog Pants group. They're a chatty bunch, always making games happen. So go check that out. Just /join Frog Pants. That's right there from the chat menu in the video game that you're all playing called Heroes of the Storm. You can email us, core, I said whore at heroes4you.com. I meant core at heroes4you.com.
All right, heroes for you.
That's a bad idea. Core at heroes4you.com. Core heroes for Twitter account. You can find John underscore Jagger. Bo Schwartz is at Bo Schwartz. And you can find me at Scott Johnson. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Bo, for John. See you next week. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
That's a good question.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kyler Tsinis.
Kyler Tsinis. I'm Kyler Tsinis, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.